This meeting is being recorded.
There you go.
Good.
Excellent. So we are on the clock now. So I don't know if you had a chance to read over our little project, but it's called Hear Hear Arboretum.
Yes, I have.
Okay, lovely. So we're collecting stories of the Arboretum, and we're going to have a little walking tour where people can stop and listen to the story with a QR code.
Very good.
Yes, and so we all did, all the students did some research on an area and some archival research, and I came across Harrison House and got quite interested in the history of that house. Yes, and I had a challenge finding someone that could talk to me about this, so it's very exciting.
Well, I was told it was built in 1856.
That is quite, I'm trying to remember when the OAC, like the Ontario Agricultural College, would have started. So would it predate the college?
Well, I think so. Roy Harrison, you know, the name was, the house is called Harrison House.
Yes.
About 1980, this is a photo of myself, my wife, and Roy Harrison and his wife in front of the house. I think it was in June of 79 or 80. Mm-hmm. And he lived in that house for just about all his life. He worked for the university for 50 years. I think he was 15 years old when he started.
That's incredible.
So it was interesting living in the house. We lived in there. I moved in there by myself in September of 1975. And I moved out, I got the exact date here, the 17th of November, 1981, because then I moved over here a couple of days later.
So you've been in Australia ever since then?
I have. I've been over about eight times since the year came. I got cousins over there yet. Down in Niagara and Buffalo and a few in Guelph.
So I have a few sort of prepared questions that we ask all of our interviews for this project. So if you don't mind, I'll have you start just by saying your name and what your original affiliation was with the Arboretum.
Okay. I'll just have a quick. Sure. I just close the door and make it more quiet here. Okay, far away, Amy.
So your name and your affiliation, your original affiliation with the Arboretum.
Yeah, my name is John Curtis. I used to be a technician, I guess they called me there back then. And I looked after the plant collections in the Arboretum. So the Arboretum was started in 1970. And it was just myself with the director who was Dr. Hilton, Dr. Robert Hilton. And that service center across the road from the Harrison House, that was actually an old barn. And we started off in the chicken coop nearby. That was a little temporary office. Huh. And then we got a telephone in there and we got electricity. So we had a heater and all that. And then we gradually decided that it was a 15-year plan to decide what collections were put in. And across the road there, across College Avenue, that's the maple collection. And that was started the following year. And over the years, we got more staff, and the barn was converted into a service center. And I enjoyed working there all that time.
Excellent. Can you, now normally we would do these interviews in person in the place, but I will ask you, so normally we ask to describe what is in front of you, but can you describe for me what you remember of Harrison House, how it was at the time?
Well, the Harrison House was, when we moved in there, I decided to paint the kitchen. And I got some photos to send over to you.
Okay.
And at that time, there used to be a department of up in the main university with a paint shop there. So I got some paint and I painted in cursive. I chose a yellow one that was too bloody yellow. And I put some wallpaper up and did a lot of things that winter. And anyway, the next year, my future wife came over from Australia. And that was the first house we lived in after we got married. And anyway, the house was fairly difficult to heat. And it was expensive to heat. We didn't have gas out there, so we had to use an oil heater. And it had to be replaced during the time I was there. And in the summertime, we had to use a dehumidifier. In the wintertime, we used a humidifier, which quite often you need in the wintertime in Canada, because you try to build up the humidity in the wintertime. But the summer, those walls are so thick that with the humidity outside and the cooler temperatures inside, you had condensation form on some of the walls, the exterior walls in the house. And so you had to get it dried out. So you had to use a dehumidifier. That was something that was new to me. We had a cat there too. I'll scan some photos over. His name was Amos, pure black cat. He was named after a baseball player called Amos Otis. He used to play for the Kansas City Royals. And he was there when I came, and I left him behind.
Oh.
So somebody looked after I left.
I had a black cat myself.
I did a lot of work around the house, too. You know, we're talking about the interior of the house. That's probably the only room I did work in. It's upstairs. It was very cold upstairs in the wintertime, too. Could be very hot in the summer. Very quiet there. Very quiet spot. You can hear the cars go by on the College Avenue a bit if you're near the front windows, but it was quite good. The windows would frost up when it was really, really cold in the winter. Like, you know, one time I was there, it got down to minus 33.
Oh my goodness.
So that's the coldest. That's the coldest I've ever seen in my whole life. So, and over here, I've seen it 43 here. So it's quite a very variation of temperatures. But anyway, while I was there, I used to, because I lived nearby the work center, during my time there, I used to look after the weather station, which is on the far side of the service center. So I used to go twice a day, preferably 9 o'clock, and around 4 o'clock, take the temperatures, measure the rainfall, the snowfall, the amount of sunlight. The only thing I didn't do was the humidity and the wind velocity. But anyway, I did that all the time right up till the time I left. And while I was away, somebody else would have to come in to do it. But the house was... I would have loved to have been there when it was being built. Because those walls, the stone walls, there's such a huge piece, each block of stone. Today it'd be easy to see, but they didn't have the machinery back then. I would have loved to have been there when it was being built. It would have been very interesting. Anyway, I don't know how they did it exactly, but they did it well. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen written more recent photos of it, or you've probably been there.
I have been there, yes. And
it needs a bit of work, doesn't it?
It's in a sad state, I must admit. In the archives, I saw all the photos of the naming of it, the day in 1980, when everyone was there, and it looked so grand, and it's a shame to see it, how it's sitting now.
Yeah, it's been neglected over the last few years. Now, on the one side, on the east side, you'll see that vine all on the walls, and it's grown over the windows and everything. That's Boston ivy. Let me see, Parthenocissus tricuspidata, the botanical name. And I planted that, and I sort of regret that I planted it because it wasn't out of hand. Now it's got out of hand. You know, it's gone. It's like a weed now. But it has nice autumn color. That was what's nice about it. Mm. And But I have some nice garden beds on the property too. You've probably seen some of those from Justine.
Yes, she did kindly forward me those. Yes, but they are no longer there.
No, I didn't expect that. No. Yeah. I left them anymore. Well, I came back a couple times and the garden beds were there. Of course, they didn't have annuals in them. There were some perennials in that, in some of the shrubs. Of course, that's all gone now. But recently, they've sealed around the main drive and they've curved it. And one thing that sort of annoyed me, while they took down the bur oak, there's a bur oak that I planted, and it got to be quite a size. And the blue jays like that. They like eating the acorns. And, you know, it was recently cut down. So I guess it must have been part of their plan, but I don't know why. But I don't think they needed to take that down. But anyway, it happened.
Right.
You can't do anything about it. I used to have a big vegetable garden next door, too. Mm. You know, there's a hedge on the west side?
Yes.
And that's a conifer hedge. Junipers, you know, it's a cypress, false cypress hedge. On the other side, on the high side, I had a vegetable garden there. And boy, did I grow beautiful things, you know. It was a great garden there. And of course, the flower gardens, too. I really enjoy that because I had access to the glasshouse. I could propagate the plants that had grown from seed, put them out there. And at one time, I actually had the Horticulture Society in Guelph come out, and it was like an open house, and they came around and people could view the garden.
Oh, lovely.
So I think that was about 1978 I did that. So it was sort of sad to leave when we did leave, but it was sort of an exciting time to come over here, too. So I still work in horticulture, even though I'm just about due to retire. I'm 81 now, so I should, people here expect you to work till you drop, you know. So.
Well, that's fantastic.
I could have retired early, but I love my job.
Oh, excellent. So, I love that. Fantastic. Yeah. Do they still take the weather readings at the Arboretum?
I don't think they do. No.
I wonder if they have record of yours.
They would have that. No, yeah. I don't know how long they continued that after I left. I don't know that. Mm. Some of the staff there were still there when I was over there the last time. There was Rick Jordan. He was there for a long time. He was there for 40 years, I think.
Yes, I've heard that name. That's familiar.
And when I was there, there's Ruth Harris or Ruth Robinson now. And she still lives in Guelph. And we used to contact each other. It used to be by letter, but now it's email by Christmas. And she was great to work with, too.
Excellent. Yeah, one of the other students interviewed Ruth as well. So that's great.
Yeah, well, she'll tell you quite a bit.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I had Dr. Hilton. He was the first director I had, and he was a great person, you know. And one time he said to me, down on the corner of College and Victoria, there's a collection of, well, it was that time, I don't know what's in there now. It should still be the same. It was willows and poplars. And he said, I want you to plow the field, because it used to be more paddock and more grass crops there. And I said, I don't know how to plow. And he said, well, you came from a farm, didn't you? And I said, well, I did, but my uncle did all the plowing and he didn't let anybody else do it. So I said, he said, I want you to do it. So I had to get somebody from the farm out in Hessler to come and sort of show me how to do it, man. I wouldn't win any award at a plowing match, I could tell you that. But anyway, I got it done. And they just did and harrowed it and put grass seed down, and that was that. So the old times are quite, we've come a long way since, so the machinery too. Even where I work here now, we didn't have blowers, and we have blowers, and we got battery chainsaws, and you know, it's the same in Canada. So, getting back to the house, I think the thing that I really enjoyed working there. I really did. And another thing too, when we had a great snowstorms, I used to get up early in the morning, just at daylight, go over to the work center, get the tractor out and the snowblower, and try to blow the roads out free in our property over to the service, the main center, so the people could get in there, you know, at 8 or 9 o'clock.
Right.
And then I'd work till 8 o'clock till Ross would come in. Ross Bradshaw, he was there for many years too. He's since passed away. And he would take over the blowing and that. So it was an interesting place to work. In the wintertime, you know, we used to stay inside. It got too cold, of course. That's not the case where I am here now. You have to work outside all year round. But anyway, ask me more questions about the house.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were interested on sort of sensory questions. And if you remember any smells or sights or sounds that you remember of the house. And I'm actually, when I think of that, I wonder about the oil furnace. Did that have a particular smell?
Yeah. Well, you know, when we went there, I used to live on Willow Road in Guelph before I moved there, and used to get good TV reception and lots of stations. So we went out there, and of course, there's no TV or aerial or anything. So we went and bought an aerial that you could rotate. And we put it up in the wintertime. So you imagine getting up on the roof in the wintertime to put the aerial up. We did it. We got it done. Didn't have any injuries or anything. And I still remember doing that. And the house, I think I said to you, it was very quiet because the walls were so thick. And even though you're isolated there, like we didn't, there was no public transport. So you really relied on a car. And there was a garage there too. I don't know if you knew that. There used to be a garage beside the house.
Oh.
You know, when I scan these photos, so you'll see that. Mm-hmm. The garage was situated to the north of the house, facing east. So I used to come in like you do now off College Avenue. And you just veer to the left and come up the driveway there. And it was not a very nice garage. It was just basically, it had doors on, but they weren't too good. But it worked. It was a shelter for your car. And the house, I think, I put some footpaths in too when I was there. And they may still be there from the side door going out to the, what was the driveway. And I put that into, I took pride in the place, even though I was renting. And the rent was quite reasonable too, of course. You had to pay for your utilities and that, you know, of course. But it was pretty good.
I'm curious, yes. Then, did you know Roy Harrison well then when you took over?
No, I didn't. No. He had retired before. Well, he worked in the agriculture section, see, so probably that was the only time I met him when they had that naming of the house. Yeah, he was a nice person, and I knew that, but he was well respected and a hard worker too, apparently.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've heard recently about the Turfgrass Institute that has moved onto the land next door, just on the west side of the house. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I go on to Google Earth.
Yes.
And I can see an awful lot around there.
Yes, yes.
That's how I knew about the sealed pathway and the curbing and, right. And the removal of that bare oak. And so, because I look on Google Earth, you know, and I do
right.
That. Even the house I grew up with in Fort Erie, you know, I look to see if there's any changes in it. And, you know, it's interesting.
It is. You know, and I believe they were meant to renovate Harrison House originally when they had agreed to take over that land. But then there was the usual delays and budget increases. And at the end, there was no money left to renovate Harrison House. But that was at one point a promise. They had architectural drawings drawn up and it was going to be administrative space for Arboretum staff.
Okay. Well, but you know,
it never happened.
back in 2011, I came over there with my wife and my daughter. It was my daughter's 21st birthday, so we came over, and we went through the house. Mm-hmm. And there were students in there then, so that's like 11 years ago.
Oh.
And they made a few changes in there then. Because when you come in the back door into the kitchen, the interior back door, there's a number of doors in here. When you come in into your door, into the kitchen, if you look to your right, there's an opening there now that used to be closed, and that goes to another room. So they've changed, they opened that up. And the kitchen was the same color as it was when I painted back in 1976. Hadn't changed at all. You know, the students were real friendly. I think they're all ladies, little females that were in there. You know, they welcomed us and they went upstairs and looked around the rooms and all that. So not much has changed. Have you been in the house at all?
No, because it's in such a way that I didn't think, like, it's abandoned essentially right now. I didn't realize there was still students there as recently as 2011.
Yeah. Well, there's a number of doors. The front door facing College Avenue, we never used. But if you did come in there, that you'll see the steps going upstairs straight from the front door. But we used to come into the side door, which faces the service center. Well, there's a back door faces northward, and it's like a back kitchen area, they call. There's not really a kitchen, but it was unheated area, and we used to just store stuff in there. And anyway, upstairs, you go up the steps, get to the top landing. On your left was one bedroom, and you turn to the right, straight at front, is a toilet. So there's no toilets downstairs. Toilet and a bathtub. In the shower over the bathtub, in the hand basin, of course. If you go down the hall, to the facing the front of the house, there's a bedroom on one side, on the left and the right. The right was sort of like the master bedroom, but no ensuite like that. You didn't have nothing fancy there. And downstairs, if you come in the kitchen, and you pass that, you go into one living room. And then if you go around to the right, go past the stairs and go up into the great big living room. And we used to go in there and watch TV and that, you know, so. But anyway, at least I got four photos of the interior of the house. And one's of the kitchen where I painted. And you'll see the one living room. And the others are the living room, that's right. Yeah, and I've got lots of pictures of the outside. And something else I didn't mention, there used to be a little shed, which was a chicken coop. And when I moved there, there was a number of bantam chooks there. And during the winter time, the first winter I was there, I had to clean it out. I wanted to clean the shed out. And of course I had let them out. And they didn't like that, and they flew out, and I lost them all. They went up high in the trees, and I couldn't catch them. Oh. And I really felt bad about that. But anyway, the chicken coop was converted into like a garden shed to put my hand tools in. So that's gone too. That's disappeared. Around the back, there used to be a real enclosed area where we had a picnic table there, and it's very private. You had the garage on the one side, the house on the two sides, and you had the hedge, the evergreen hedge. So it was nice and private and sheltered too. We put some new plants around there. We had a tree peony in that protected area, and we had a plant called a Manchu cherry was on one of those garden beds. And it was a beautiful plant. And interesting about that plant is that I couldn't find any around here in Australia. And I obtained some seed, and three germinated, and I gave one away, and I kept the other two. And this year they flowered. They're flowering right this minute.
Amazing.
And they have red berries on, and you can make jam and jelly from those. So that's a memory of the Harrison house. It's a lovely time living there. It really was.
Excellent.
Ask me some more questions.
So really, then I think you've actually answered quite a few of them too about the descriptions and how it's changed over time. Do you have any specific memory that you would like to share? Like, I don't know, maybe a party you had there, anything that was a great memory of a time in the house?
Just the year that I left, I had celebrated my 40th birthday there. We had a number of friends of mine. We had, just before I left too, we had like a sale. We had a sale on our furniture, everything. And we had a lot of people came and bought a lot of things. A few things I sort of said that I left. You know, when you move a long way away and you don't have a lot of time, you seem to leave things behind that you should have brought. And you bring things over you don't really need, because they do have it here, you know. But I had a lot of toys that I had when I was a kid, and I had to, you know, just sell them all off. And, yeah, it's a bit sad, but it's a long time ago now. But it's in all the furniture, we had some nice bedroom furniture that was a gift of my in-laws that we bought. I can't remember the kind, it was like a dark cherry wood. And of course, we couldn't bring it, you know, so we had to sell it. And anyway, we brought over my dining room table. It was my grandmother's. And there's matching chairs for it. And we're going to bring those too. But the mover said, oh, they don't stack, you know. So we just left those behind. And to this day, we've never got matching chairs or anything yet. We still use the table, but all the chairs are different. So we still haven't got that straightened out.
So that was the table you used in Harrison House? You still have it?
I sold it to some people in Toronto, actually. Yeah. And of course, we had to sell the car. We had two cars. We had an Oldsmobile and we had a little Honda Civic. I got rid of the Oldsmobile early to somebody local. And then I think the last day I was there, one of the fellows I used to live with before I got married, he bought that. And he moved up to Markdale, which is up near Owen Sound. And I can't think of what else. Other memories of the place. We had several ice storms, I remember. Mm. And we lost the power. And I remember a lady came in who was about 8 months pregnant. She skidded off the road on College Avenue. And she came to the door pretty hysterical, and we let her in. And we didn't have any heat. Well, the house was cooling down because the power was off. But anyway, she came in there, and we didn't have mobile phones, of course, then. So, you know, she called her husband up and said, I'm down here, you know, with some people that are looking after me, and that's yeah. You know, we have animals around there, too. That's something else. I remember seeing deer walk around the front lawn, and we had groundhogs, which was a bit of a problem because they used to eat my broccoli and cauliflower. And we had rabbits, and I remember seeing some muskrats. And it was quite interesting to see all the animals. Of course, over here now, here we have much more birds than Canada does, but a lot less animals. But that's one thing I noticed, the change coming here. Because I've been here half my life now, so I mean, I'm pretty well Australian, except my accent, it hasn't changed too much, has it?
No.
I got to say aluminium instead of aluminum, though.
Now, what would you like to see happen to Harrison House in the future?
Oh, well, I think one thing, they should take that vine off the side, you know. The last time I looked at it, the lawn hadn't been cut either. I mean, I would have thought that next door, over in the service center, they would come over and mow it. Now, I don't know who does the mowing there. Maybe it's contracted out, or they do it themselves. I don't know.
But,
I mean, it's right next door. You think if they do it, they surely could come over there with a ride-on lawnmower, and they could do it in, you know, 15 minutes probably. I think it would be good to see it renovated. Paint it up. Don't let the thing go to disarray, because the longer you leave it, the more costly it's going to get to update it. The interior, I think I hope they don't change it too much. I mean, it was quite nice the way it was. Of course, I don't have any say in that, but I think it's, they do, I know what, same thing happens here, because I work for Parks Victoria, and they have some homes here that belong to them, and sometimes they let them run down so much, and they get, instead of looking after them, in your own place, you look after as years, each year you look, update, maintenance all the time, but if you let it go for 15 years or longer, do nothing, well, then you got big costs, and that's the problem. It's better to do it each couple of years, you know, and it's not so much costly. But anyway, I just hope that it's preserved. You know, it's an old house. That's really old, that 1856.
Yeah.
I mean, not many houses that old anymore.
And it seems to me that it was part of the origins of the college, right? It was used as part of the college.
You're aware of the one across the road, too, up the hill a bit?
Yes, someone still lives there, so I don't know as much about that one.
No, well, Ruth lived in there. Ruth Robinson lived in there.
Okay.
For a while. Yeah. Well, I know something happened, too. One winter, we had the Honda out there, and of course, the locks freeze up, you know, in your car, the door locks. We didn't bother locking them. So anyway, some young fellow came along and he knocked on our door and he wanted to come in and use the phone. And he did, but his motive was to steal something. And he didn't steal anything in the house, but he got out in the car and he opened the door and jumped in. Of course, he couldn't start it. There was no key or anything. I don't know why he did that. But he left the footprints in the snow. And then he went over to the house across the road where Ruth was. And she lived with, this was before she got married, so she was living with a couple other girls. And he went there and he got in the house and he got keys. And he got into one of the cars, but he got it stuck in the snow. But, you know, the police came and they came to our house and came to Ruth's house and they said they'd matching footprints. And now I can't remember how they caught him in a hotel in the city. I don't remember just how it happened, but he got caught.
Got caught and they matched the footprints.
That's really the only time I've ever had anything to do with somebody coming to steal something. But he didn't get away with it from either place. So that was probably about 1979, 1980. Yeah. So any more questions, Amy?
Well, that is about it. And my Zoom meeting, I have the free Zoom, so it ends in about 5 minutes if you have to upgrade for more time. So I've got about 5 minutes left on the clock. Is there any final thoughts you want to share? It can be on the Arboretum in general as well.
You know, look, I have about probably 10 or a dozen photos that I'll scan. And I'll scan that document, too, that you want me to sign.
Sure.
I can do that upstairs here.
Okay, great.
So, I'm in Sherbrooke, Victoria right now. Sherbrooke. You've heard of Sherbrooke, Victoria? You probably haven't.
I've heard of Victoria.
You've heard of Sherbrooke in Quebec, though, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, a Canadian named it this place. Sure. Oh. I don't remember his name, but it's true. Yeah. But anyway, look, I'll send those over.
Lovely.
And I'll do that as soon as my supervisors are around. I don't know how to scan, but he does.
Okay.
And I'll do that with the document and the photos. And I don't know what else to say now.
That's perfect. I think we have lots to work with. So what we do is we typically edit it down to like a 3-minute clip. And we kind of make a little story that people can hear. So we edit the interview to about 3 minutes. And With your permission, then, those photos, we're also doing it on a website. So if you would give permission that I could put a photo or two along with our story on the website, if you would consider that would be lovely.
There's one or two photos of me in there, in the garden, around the house.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
It's so you're doing this project. What you're a student, what do you study?
Yes, history. I'm a history student. And so we're learning oral history, right? Public history. We're looking for memories from people who don't often make it into the history books, right? So,
I love history too.
Yes.
Recently they got a new prime minister in England, you know.
Mm-hmm. Liz.
Liz Truss. And anyway, they mentioned about how many prime ministers were during the reign of Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was about 15.
Yes.
And I was with about four or five people at the time, and I named all 15. And they said, "Oh, aren't you amazing?" Well, I was there. I mean, I can remember. I'm so old, I can remember when she was coronated back in June the 2nd, 1953.
Yes.
So she died, or he died in February of 52. So it took a long time.
A long time.
Death. So it'd be interesting to see how long King Charles will have his. I don't think it'd be that long. Probably next summer.
Yes.
You know, even summer. Yeah. You know, that's just part of history.
Yes.
Okay, look.
I think that's everything. It's about to cut us off. So I just want to thank you so much again. Like you're saying, I love history, and I feel like that house has a lot of history. It has a lot to say, and I don't want it to get forgotten.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, I just hope that the house is updated, you know, maintained properly. And maybe Justine can do something about that.
Put a bug in her ear.
Emailed a number of times talking back and forth about the history.
Yes.
Because they had the 50th anniversary really in 2020, and they were supposed to have a celebration because of the pandemic. That's all over the world. I mean, I was actually stood down at work for a while too, because of my age. I couldn't work for about 5 months. And then when I did come back, I was isolated to work in a separate spot. So, but anyway, that was just for my own safety. But at least things are going back to normal now.
Yes. Yeah. All right. I think it's about to cut us off. So take care. Thank you so much.
All right. I hope I did. I hope you're satisfied with what I got.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll send those over later today.
Beautiful.
Photos and the document.
Thank you for your time. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too now. Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.